Welcome to Poplar Forest, my retreat house. It's so named because of the abundance of poplar trees within this immediate vicinity. I refer to them as the Juno of the forest, the queen of the forest. Curiously enough, this entire acreage, well over 4,000 acres, was surveyed by my father, Colonel Peter Jefferson. So I was familiar with this property well before I met my future bride, Miss Martha Wales. Do you know that when Mr. Wales passed away, May of 1773, and I stood to inherit a great portion of his estate, oh, rest you assured, my marriage doubled my comfort. I inherited near 7,000 acres from my father, upward of near 75 enslaved. But when Mr. Wales passed away, one quarter of his property was mine, 14,000 acres, upwards of nearly 100 enslaved. I set out that late summer, I think it was the early fall of 73, yes, it was September, to inspect my inheritance. I first came out here to Bedford County. At that time, Bedford had been a county of the colony for about 20 years. And this was very much the fringes of civilization. Well, it took but a short time for me to discover that this is indeed perhaps the finest of my inheritance from Mr. Wales. Oh, the soil of a rich composition, allowing one to cultivate ever the sweet-smelling and tasting tobacco. And of course, that southern ridge that rolls along the northern part of the property provides the greatest sunlight throughout the year to cultivate this tobacco. I knew then that I must hold to this inheritance. And so it was that I had the opportunity to think about how I might improve the property in time. And that opportunity came somewhat unexpectedly. The early part of June, 1781. In fact, more precisely, Monday, June the 4th, the King's birthday. I was seated at my breakfast table at Monticello. It was the election day, the day that our Virginia House of Delegates would elect the third governor of the new Commonwealth of Virginia. Why in Charlottesville? Because our capital of the Commonwealth, Richmond, to which we had removed ourselves, it was there in the spring of 1780. We had to remove our capital immediately from Williamsburg to Richmond, and then we had to retreat from Richmond Town as the enemy besieged that capital city. In the face of the enemy advance, we sought the far western reaches of the forest primeval, the hinterlands, if you will, and there we retreated to Charlottesville. We were seated at my breakfast table in order to discuss the proceeds of the day, how we would go about electing the third governor. It was certain I would not serve for a third term, 1 year at a time. Do you know, before we could dig into our hoe cakes, there was a tap upon the window pane. We looked about us, and there was the bloodied physiognomy of a young Jack Jewett. He had heard that evening previous the logistics, the preliminaries, if you will, of some of Lord Cornwallis's officers, that there were orders to be followed through by Lieutenant Colonel Bannister Tarleton to venture westward to Charlottesville, where they knew the House of Delegates and the governor had retreated, and there to capture them. With this fair warning from young Captain Jack Jewett, many refer to him as the Paul Revere of Virginia, we were able then to make a retreat. Again, my apologies for the ramble. The House of Delegates retreated farther west in Virginia to Staunton. I myself and my family, we retreated here to Poplar Forest. It was but a cabin here, not very convenient, if you will, for guests and the like, but oh, so cozy for my family and myself. That entire month of June was one of the most delightful months of my entire life. There, in the bosom of my family. I realized then how important this property was and how I might delight to further improve it. So you can imagine that which continued to be a bright light in my life, that which continued to represent the essence of warm domesticity, was here, Poplar Forest, away from the turmoil of the world, all of the ancient conflicts, if you will, that were beset to man in the kingdoms of Europe and now our own here on this new continent. No, here is where I could retreat. Here is where I could seek solace. Here is where I could come in the company of my family and my best friends, where I could seek a hermitage, a seclusion, where I could engage very quietly and comfortably in reading and in writing, and most importantly, in thinking, reflection. It is but a 4-mile-an-hour world that I know, but no matter, everyone needs the opportunity to escape the turmoil and the conundrums, if you will, of human activity, to escape, get away, and to be with oneself and with those they truly treasure and love. So you can well understand why this spot has ever remained most sacred to me, and why, when I was beset by the cares of office, that first term as Chief Magistrate of our nation, 1801 through 1804, I needed a place where I could not only escape Charlottesville, but to escape Monticello. Oh, yes, I was besieged by droves of curiosity seekers. And it was here I conceived the idea of the perfection of my interest in architecture. The perfection, if you will, of a perfect villa. The perfection seen in the design of an octagon, 8 sides in which may be placed windows, for there is no dark corner in an octagon. And there as well to be able to place the foundation of the house so that the windows frame a sublime scene in nature in the distance. Out yonder here, the peaks of Otter, opposite Tobacco Row and Candlers Mountain. No, what an opportunity would be mine here to seek that seclusion and continue, if you will, to improve upon the delicacy of design in architecture, to incorporate the wisdom of the past, the essence, the principles of Vitruvian architecture, the ancient Roman architect Vitruvius, whose renderings and suggestions have ever remained the foundation of that architecture which lifts the human spirit to noble sentiments. Well, after all, we double our population every 25 years or so. So what art is the most necessary, not only to shelter ourselves, but also to provide us a greater happiness? Have you ever noticed when you're in a room with a greater number of windows, the more light makes you the more happy? Or in a room where the ceilings are tall and high, providing a greater animation of airs, do you not feel not only the happier, but the healthier? This is necessary. And the ancients knew this, Vitruvius in particular, and later improved upon in the 16th century by Andre Palladio. I will never forget when I purchased those 4 books of the architecture of Andre Palladio. I was still a young student in Williamsburg, Virginia. It has ever remained the Bible of that study to me. And so, with his improvements in the 16th century, why not seek to improve it the further here? Here in North America, upon a tabula rasa, particularly in Virginia, in order to incorporate these ancient designs to make not only for a greater beauty, but a greater comfort. That is the essence of the design of Poplar Forest. Very much, if you will, an architectural souffle, rising ever so delicately in all of its proportions, so correct, all upon one floor where one is at the greater ease, and yet never to neglect the basement as essential to the foundation, but also to a well-stocked wine cellar. Oh, I can assure you, yes, wine has become a necessity of life with me. It is a panacea for ailments, always conducive to good conversation. I am never without it on the meal table, after, of course, we have finished the main dinner. Then the table furniture is removed, the carafe is put down, the glasses are poured, no more than 3 ounces. I ever take 2 glasses. That is the doctor's prescription. But when I am in the company of good friends, I treble that. I have the finest wines here at Poplar Forest, as I do at Monticello, but here rest you assured to be savored the more delicately and comfortably. And in my dining chamber, my salle de manger, where, if you will, there are no windows about the sides, no, rather, above, a skylight. As I have completed it, the largest skylight in North America, 16 feet long, 2 feet wide. Can you imagine the sublime nature of an evening's repast with nothing but candlelight and moonlight? Oh, it is a place to which I hope you will have the opportunity to venture if you have not already. And if you have, then continue to do so, to encounter my improvements. Oh, I am not finished. Hardly ever finished a work of architecture. I enjoy too much pulling down and building up. And so it is that I will continue here at my retreat house to welcome many of you as my friends, my intimate acquaintances, that you might enjoy observing the further improvements, the perfection of architecture. It is never finished, is it not? Neither is our work as Americans. Godspeed.